Welcome to another episode of the Cinema Guys.
Cinema Guys.
We love talking movies we watched. We also enjoy giving you some of our top and sometimes bottom lists. And we also like to discuss trailers we've seen, as well as give you some of our home recommendations. This week, we will look at the newest movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Doctor Strange. I'm Brad. Before we get started, let's meet my fellow hosts, Justin and Michael.
I'm Michael.
No, you're not.
I could have been Michael. Hold on. I was going to see if you're going to go with it.
No. No one's going to believe that.
All right. Sorry. I'm Michael.
I'm Justin.
Oh, you did it.
And we are the Cinema Bros.
The Cinema Guys.
Guys, not bros, man. We're just guys.
I'm a bro.
So, let's get started. We'll talk a pair of trailers we saw before our movie this week.
There's a lot of them, too.
I like to call this section Trailer Trash.
Trailer Trash.
First up is the next movie in the DC Expanded Universe, and that is Wonder Woman.
Otherwise known as their Redemption movie.
As I have said since watched it, this will be the one.
And this one is this is the one where it was like, never mind, Marvel Cinematic Universe, step on over because DC's finally done.
Here comes the ladies, and we're going to finally make you forget about all those other movies.
Yeah, we don't care about Christopher Nolan and that Batman anymore, because now it's Wonder Woman and everything that's coming out after it.
Yeah.
Finally the movie that's going to take us over the top.
It's actually going to be good.
But you know what's interesting in that newest trailer is, because they always had that music that they were using in the Batman v Superman. How's it go?
It's like, wah, wah, wah. It sounds like the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it's like,
with the drums.
Get you really pumped.
Because the trailer, you're pumped, and then all of a sudden, it seems like it just changes when it gets to the music.
Because any other time, it's been like, oh, that music is Wonder Woman's music. But then, in the trailer, they kind of stowed in the end. Like, oh, yeah, remember, we were using this.
They just had the music playing the entire movie. Just every scene. Just keep playing.
I have not read anything on the storyline, but I'm gathering that a good portion of the movie is going to take place on the mythical island.
I haven't read anything.
The other half of the movie. That's a guess from the trailer. The other half's going to take place
during World War One.
And Chris Pine's like, this is my secretary.
I mean, you can definitely tell that they are concentrating more on the humor aspect of it. They're definitely playing that up.
The trailer has really amped up the humor. You're like, hey, look, we can be funny too.
Hey, guys, we're not all doom and gloom. Yeah. The world's not ending.
I'm really interested to see if they do her weaknesses. Pierced by a man or bound by a man or however it is. Because I'm like, she's charging. You see her block with the bracelets a lot in the trailer. But I'm like, well, I don't think they would hurt your skin either.
You know, she has the lasso because you've seen that in
the
previous trailer.
Yeah, lasso is freaking awesome. Is it a lasso of truth, though?
I don't know. As long as they have invisible jet.
No, that's definitely in there. Yeah. You just didn't see it in the trailer.
What's next on the list, Brad? Right.
The next trailer, it's one that's been out for a few weeks. But this is the movie I'm probably most looking forward to this year. That's Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Not Old Dogs 3?
No.
Yeah, do you follow Star Wars on Instagram?
I'm a Star Wars fanboy, so of course I'm really going to be looking forward to it.
Do you follow Star Wars on Instagram?
Yes.
Because they've been posting, like, every now and then bios of the new characters. Yeah. It's really, I think this looks...
It looks good.
I feel like it looks better than all the rest of them.
I feel like it's going to open up an interesting door into the expanded universe. You know, all the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously we have the Legends collection now, but all those stories that were so-so, but, you know, it really built upon the whole world and mythos. I think it's going to be a really good way to get into that. And if they do it right, you know, we should have years and years of movies where they don't have to necessarily focus on the main trilogy or the Skywalker lineage or however you want to look at it.
And they're really digging into, like the animated, like Forrest Whitaker's character was a character from the Clone Wars animated series.
Yeah.
So they're trying to really kind of bring them around.
Maybe Itchy and Lumpy from Kashyyyk from the Christmas special. Might make it, because you know that is considered canon.
Yes, it is.
It is not, and they think the reason that why George Lucas did not take it out of the canon is because that would mean he would have to admit that it exists by taking it out of the canon. So he didn't, and it is official canon. Life Day, Princess Leia singing.
The whole war aspect of this is what I really love. It's not just, hey, it's all about the Jedi's and, you know, so the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
And
this. Yeah. Although apparently the planet, a lot of it takes place on the
Well, and even in the planet in the trailers and everything I read, it's not, oh, here's just another desert planet or a snow planet. It's like a tropical planet.
Right, and that planet apparently is where all the Force learning first started happening ever.
Yeah, supposedly it has like a deep tie to the Jedi. And you can see in the trailer there's like the giant statue that's been knocked over. But supposedly that plateau they're on is kind of like a holy city, kind of like a Jerusalem up on a...
It's got a plateau.
I have a feeling we'll probably really dig into this when it comes out.
I mean, it looks really good, and I'm excited.
I think it they're coming out every year. It's like Christmas present. Every year we get a Christmas present from George Lucas, Inc., Lucasfilms.
Yeah, Garth Edwards, the director, has described it as he filmed it like a military documentary style, so it should be a lot of handheld cams. And...
Well, if he does it like he did with Monsters, and he also did it with Godzilla, where he gave it the...
Ooh, I need to watch Monsters.
With scope.
The character's point of view, basically.
Yeah.
Like in Godzilla, there was its character's point of view seeing this giant monster.
Which Godzilla? The Jimmy Page Pop Daddy one?
No. The newest one that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
Had Bryan Cranston in it briefly.
I don't think I saw it.
Had Fat Godzilla.
Yeah, I definitely did not see it. I remember the Puff Daddy one.
Yeah, that was in the 2000
or something.
Yeah,
that was in Roland Emmerich joint.
Got it. I called the Jimmy Page Puff Daddy one because it was like the video was Puff Daddy.
Not the Bob Dylan's Sons band.
Oh, the Wallflowers.
Yeah, they had a song in that too.
Did they? One Headlight.
Yep.
Was not that one. So recently we went to see Doctor Strange, which is the 14th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
14.
So
it's a shame that they don't include Blade in the Cinematic Universe, because Blade is awesome.
And I don't think we need to sit here and list all 14 movies.
Well, I have mine from 1 to 14, worst to best, or best.
Well, I was going to say, we could do a list, something we like to call Flick Picks.
Flick Picks!
And we can give just our top few MCU movies.
So cut it down to the top five.
Mine's important because I have to say how much I hate Iron Man 3. It is the worst of all of them. I hate it.
And controversy.
Iron Man 3 is in my top five.
Is it really?
Oh, yes.
I thought it was so boring, and I thought the story was so stupid. I was like, all right, all the other suits, we get it. Like, I just did not care. I just thought it was really boring.
You didn't enjoy the PTSD message in the post-Avengers world?
Iron Man 3 on my list is ranked fifth.
So then my top five, if I have to do a five, because the thing is, I do love some of these other ones, but all right, my top five, Iron Man 1, because that was like the first one that was just such an eye-opener to me when, like, I remember sitting there, I didn't see it in theater, I think, or maybe I did, I think, yeah, we went and saw, we're like, okay, we'll see Iron Man, and I remember being floored, like, this is awesome, like, Robert Downey Jr., where did he come from? Like,
who was this guy?
Yeah, it's awesome. So Iron Man 1, is so great. Guardians of the Galaxy, so funny, so fantastically fresh and new. I loved it. The Avengers, the first one, because I was pretty floored by that. Now, I don't think it has much rewatchability, because I've rewatched it maybe three or four times, and I get a little bored with it.
I think it did very well putting like all those characters together.
I mean, it's definitely a great movie. I think some of the story... It's sort of one of my big beefs with a lot of the Marvel stuff is that they're not very deep, that you can... You remember these really fun, exciting parts, like Spider-Man things, but then when you get into the story, like, story's just okay. Number four, Doctor Strange. I really liked it a lot. I thought it was really fun and new and exciting. And number five, Captain America 2, Winter Soldier. I liked what I thought... I mean, because I have Captain America 1, like, way down at number 12.
So I like Captain America 1.
I have Captain America 1 is in my top 5, and Doctor Strange is lower on my list.
Because I have heard I knew the Captain America origin story, so I was like, all right. That's what was so great about Doctor Strange, that I didn't know the origin. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, Chris Evans is so good as Steve Rogers. Like, you know, that first one, he like really...
First group of ones came out, Captain America was my favorite out of all those... Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, like leading up to the Avengers. I just thought, they cast him perfectly.
Plus, it's from the director of The Rocketeer.
Yeah, I did not love The Rocketeer.
And Honey, awesome. I Shrunk the Kids.
Rocketeer is not awesome.
Yeah,
whatever, Justin. That's the dumbest premise for...
You need to rewatch this.
I have seen it probably twice in my life.
Cinema Guys Movie Night, The Rocketeer.
What, just because he flexed his head, now he can like, pew, 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 pew. Oh, it was my helmet the whole time. Now I can fly. Great.
It's a fun movie.
I can even quote The Rocketeer, because he takes off his helmet, he's like, I like it. That's his thing. This had a little more Jack Nicholson and the Joker, but...
See, I was thinking The Mask.
Oh, yeah, that was a little Jack. I like it. I can't even do it. Anyways, that was my Rocketeer quote. See, I can even quote it, because I remember the movie. I remember thinking it was going to be awesome.
I remembered one vague line.
Yeah, it wasn't a vague line. It was in the trailer. That's how I knew.
So you watched the trailer.
Several of those. No, because there was a whole bunch of movies when I was little. That would be in one of them. Dick Tracy being another one where I was like, this is going to be so cool. And
it was another one. I've watched it many years. But when it came out, like, I loved it.
I remember the trailer for that one, too, because it goes, Tracy, 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 Tracy. People call me Dick. That was like... That was the trailer. All these different people saying his name. I watched a lot of TV growing up and trailers, apparently.
My list is a little different than yours. My top Marvel movie is Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's good.
That was just one that I just...
It's so good.
It had a perfect mix of action, the sci-fi, the comedy, the characters just played Chris off each Pratt. Other so well.
Do you know anyone else who's resurrected himself? Like Chris Pratt has. Not that he died, per se, but he was like this other actor. And he then he became something yet. Cool. Because he was in Parks and Rec forever.
He was in it for like 3 seasons before he became a big actor.
Was it?
Yeah, it wasn't that long. I mean, he got pumped for Guardians. And I think that's where he lost all the weight. But I think Parks and Rec had only been on for 2 or 3 seasons.
I guess. All right.
I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, I'm just saying, he went from...
But he did go from kind of slubbish to six-pack,
80-pack.
And
he was very hot, man.
Worked
cool.
out for him.
Yeah.
He was funny in Parks and Rec, but he was way more funny. Oh, you're right, because I remember there was a time in Parks and Rec where he was skinnier, and me and Chris were like, oh, this must have definitely been post
Guardians of the
Galaxy. And he got funnier, or more funny.
Well, I think they gave him more screen time, because he was all of a sudden kind of a big actor. But...
Whoa. Get out of here, Amy Poehler. Chris Pratt's here now. Rob Lowe, you get out of here.
Because at the first episode back in that season, they're like, man, you lost a lot of weight. It's like, yeah, stop drinking beer.
So, the first Avengers would be my second. I thought Joss Whedon did a great job of bringing those characters together. And just at the time when I first saw it, I just felt like it was almost the perfect superhero movie. A good mesh. Mm-hmm. Especially with as many characters you had. Third, I would say Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. I love the whole kind of political twist on it and kind of that beginning of the end of a change in the Marvel Universe. Kind of a nice little switch to...
Was Winter Soldier where the opening scene... It's cause that's, is that the one with the twins in it or is that the Avengers 2? The Avengers Scarlet 2. Witch and Quicksilver.
That's
Avengers 2.
There's one I was like the opening where they're all like sacking the woods.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's
the second
great opening. Anyways,
Age of Ultron.
And next would be the first Captain America. When it came out, I love that movie. And fifth on my list, Iron Man 3, Shane Black movie. I thought I love the whole, you know, he was still the superhero, but not the superhero that whole movie. Where, right. You know, he didn't have a suit for a lot of it, and the whole little playing off the kid. And it was almost like a detective movie rather than, hey, I'm Iron Man, gonna just go kick some butt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I love the whole Mandarin twist. I know a lot of people hated it because it strayed from the comics, but...
Yeah, I didn't hate the Mandarin twist, but I do feel like they ruined a cool bad guy.
I don't think they ruined the bad guy. I think they just used the name. They can still use the actual Mandarin.
I think it'd be weird to use the name. Oh, remember that one time the guy was faking something? I'm going to bring it back and have rings in my hands.
All you got to do is have
maybe
a scene
really
where...
he wasn't really faking. He's faking that he's faking.
Ooh.
All you have to do is have
Ben Kingsley.
All you have to do is have Ben Kingsley sitting there. The Mandarin comes in behind him and says, how dare you take my name, and then like he just kills or Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley finds the rings and decides, maybe I will be the real Mandarin after all.
Or maybe I'll be the ringmaster.
The ringmaster. Go with ringmaster because that man. No, I'll just take the man.
All right. Well, my list is a little bit different, a little bit the same. I went with Guardians of the Galaxy for my number one spot as well.
It's good.
It's just, it's tons of fun.
Yeah,
it's,
and I would say I probably do like it better than Iron Man 1, but I have to play Iron Man 1 because it was my first.
It has a lot of rewatchability.
Tons.
Yeah, and I feel like it really grasps the whole Marvel style, like going back to the comics. It's like Marvel's very humorous, very light, and I feel like that captured it with, you know, it also brought in the whole cosmic world, and I like that aspect. And so I thought it did a really great job. And then I went with Winter Soldier, which I thought was a great...
So those two made all of our lists.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's a great throwback to like 70s espionage films. You know, it has the superhero aspect to it, but it also has some very real world type feel to it. And then I went with Civil War because I felt that was a better Avengers movie than the Avengers movies. Mm. It got all those people together, introduced new characters.
I liked it a lot more than Age of Ultron, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I did not love Age of Ultron.
And then here's where I differ from you. So I'm kind of torn between fourth and fifth. It's either going to be, I think it's Doctor Strange and then Ant-Man. I really liked Ant-Man.
I did like Ant-Man a lot. I was having a hard time putting it in there because I put it behind Incredible Hulk because I liked that one too. But they're both sort of on their own.
And I mean, that movie had a lot of trouble with like the actual production. Everyone knows about Edgar Wright being involved with that and leaving the project. But I felt like Peyton Reed came in, did a wonderful job. It's got a lot of humor to it. Paul Rudd is awesome in it. It's
Paul
got a
Rudd
great...
is great. And well, I mean, I loved him in Civil War.
He was awesome in Civil War. He was so good.
And he'll play. I mean, that just it brings up another part of the whole world. And that's what I like about this new phase is, you know, they've had two phases where they're kind of pretty similar, you know, elements overall. They're building up to, you know, the Avengers and Age of Ultron to this bigger world, but you know, the past few movies, they've concentrated more on, you know, either smaller stories or bigger stories that are going to open up the world to new avenues and to new concepts. So I think that's really cool.
Do we have all the Infinity Stones now?
No, one more needs to show up.
Because we have Guardians. We have Guardians. Doctor Strange. We have Civil War.
Dark World thing, right,
is one.
Well, it's Age of Ultron.
Oh, because one's in Vision's head.
Vision's head.
They should kill that character. Oh,
man. Vision's great.
Well, and even in Civil War, the whole time I'm like, when they were doing the big airport fight, which is really cool, I'm like, the dude's like incinerating bricks in front of their feet. He might as well. Why didn't he burn someone or like do something? Like he's not. Because there's times where he just disappears. I'm like, yeah, if you were around doing whatever it is you do, you could probably be a lot more helpful.
Well, he basically said, "I'm taking myself out of the battle." Like he like didn't want to participate. He was kind of neutral in that whole aspect.
I don't think he truly wanted to hurt any of them.
Right, but he had done something.
It's like taking Thor and the Hulk out of that. I mean, they were purposely put out because, you know, you bring a god and essentially what is the strongest person in the Marvel world into the fight.
Scarlet Witch should have immediately been like, hey, Vision, I'm doing that same thing I did to you earlier where I drove you into the center of the earth. And do that every time. Like, oh, I don't know what it is, but I'm doing it again. I'm doing it again.
They had to leave the screen time for like Hawkeye and
Spider-Man. He was so cute.
Black Widow to fight the two with no superpowers at all.
I just really wanted to
What's
do
that? Luke Cage and Daredevil came too? All right. Jessica Jones?
I really wish they would do a Hawkeye Netflix show.
Interesting. Like, I think it's called Arrow.
this goes a little bit off, but there's a great run of Hawkeye with Matt Fraction where it has nothing to do with him being a superhero. It's just his normal day-to-day life and it's awesome.
Which is just like normal, right?
Well, yeah. It's a little bit different than the comics because he doesn't have a family in the comics, but he basically runs a apartment complex and there's this group of, you know, Eastern European mobsters that are trying to buy the block and he's trying to prevent them. So it's very goofy. I think it'd be fun to see, but that's just me. I was really mad in Age of Ultron when they showed his family because I'm like, now they can never do that.
Mm. He must have been a really bad dad for a long time, though, because he was away quite often.
Yeah.
Well, that leads us to the current movie to hit the Marvel cinematic universe. Doctor Strange, which stars Benedict Cumberbatch, which I still think is a made-up name.
It's just Benedict the most British name.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Benedict. It could be only more British if it was like fish and chips and crumpets.
Or Nigel. Nigel Cumberbatch sounds pretty,
yeah,
pretty British, too.
Nigel or, Crumpets.
Or maybe if he named it Gromit. Wallace and Gromit? Like, this is stupid as...
Let's not go into this argument again, guys.
Wallace and Gromit.
Which, this movie, none of us are big fans of going to 3D movies.
Yeah.
And we decided to see this one in 3D.
Because I had heard that the 3D was amazing in it. And
it was pretty great.
Yeah. I mean, I would say if you're going to go see this and...
Now, how do you rate 3D? Like, that you don't... There's a time where you're like, I didn't realize I had the glasses on anymore, and that makes it good. Or there was times where you're really like, that was going to hit me in the face, and that was good.
I kind of put it as, it kind of puts you in the movie.
Yeah, I would say immersion is what I'm looking for.
More than stuff being thrown at your face.
Because I would say I felt it in this, and I felt it, we talked about this the other day, in Avatar, the first
Avatar. I still think movie. Avatar is one of the best.
Because I remember feeling like the snow was around me. But yeah. Other than that, I've seen a couple others in 3D, and I'm just like, well, I think it was Thor in 3D, and this is really dumb.
Yeah, I saw The Winter Soldier in 3D, and it was like, I could have lived without that. But
more often than not, I'm not a fan, but occasionally you'll get some good ones.
Yeah, and I felt like this did, I mean, there's a lot of kind of otherworldly, trippy stuff that happens. I thought that stuff was awesome to look at in 3D as he's like flying through the vortexes and stuff.
That when they
twisted the buildings and
I call it their sparkler effect when they like do their magic sparkles on. Like
I like that their magic is dependent on other like kind of physical objects. I think that's kind of cool. Like they had needed that ring thing to open the things, and they all needed a trinket of some sort. I like that.
Yeah, that's the rings cool. To be able to teleport.
Right. Sling rings, right.
There we go. I knew this is one of those comics I knew absolutely nothing about going in.
Yeah, me too. Dark. I knew I knew him. I've seen he showed up all the time in the comic books, but never had a big they would ask him for wisdom or something. Like Doctor Strange, that was about the evil we're about to face, and he had a cool cape. That's all I remember.
Yeah, I mean he's had a couple runs, but he's been mostly a side character that comes and like solves things. He was part of the Illuminati storyline.
Of course he is.
That was like Iron Man, Mr. Fantastic, Black Panther. These are people who all eventually had their own Infinity Stones. They took them and they were in charge of them and kind of controlled the world. And they were actually responsible for shooting Hulk into space and creating the whole Planet Hulk storyline.
Wow. Because I'm such a DC guy. Actually, before I even knew that Marvel had was going to do this, I mean, someone said, there's a Doctor Strange movie. I actually thought they were talking about Dr. Fate from the DC world. Yeah. I was like, Dr. Fate, he was such a boring character. I was like, it's Dr. Strange. Strange Fate, because DC has Adam Strange.
Yep,
and he's
DC
a weird.
DC and Marvel,
too.
They have a lot of
characters
similar characters.
Yeah.
So I didn't. Yeah, I agree. I didn't know much. I didn't know much. So this origin story for me was I was the whole time like, man, what's gonna happen next? It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Although
I thought it was a great origin story. The villain was. I mean, yeah, Mads Mikkelsen.
I love that
he's
actor.
Such a great actor. I felt he was underutilized.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not his best performance, but in the grand scheme of Marvel villainy, he was up there with pretty much everyone else.
I don't think his plight was super clear to me, though. I was like, all right, I get that he wants to open up this evil force, but I didn't believe it enough. I was like,
It's not even that he's really a bad guy per se, because I mean, his ultimate goal was he wanted everyone to live forever.
Right.
And so, I mean, how horrible is that? I mean, it's not the worst thing.
That's the best line. It's like, well, look at your eyes. Like, this doesn't look good. I heard something about people are mad about whitewashing with the Tilda Swinton's character. Yeah. Is supposed to be Asian.
I mean, the comics, the origin story, it's an Asian person. But, I mean, it's stated that, I mean, there's been many Ancient Ones, so that's kind of their argument.
Because he'll be the next Ancient One, right?
Well, he'll be the Sorcerer Supreme. He won't be the Ancient One. Oh, gotcha. So she was, the Ancient One was a Sorcerer Supreme, and he's supposed to become the next Sorcerer Supreme. So, I mean, it's certainly not out of question for there to be a white person, but it originally was.
How come Tilda Swinton didn't come help when, you know, the aliens were attacking Manhattan? Or
they take care of mystical things.
Yeah.
They gotta guard those buildings.
Yeah.
They only put one guard in every single one.
Well, there's like one in New York, right?
Yeah.
I guess that building wasn't in danger during the attacks.
It's in Brooklyn, not Manhattan.
They're like,
I think it actually is in Brooklyn.
The guy was like, hey, should I go help with like a power ring or something? No. You stay there. Make sure books don't pop the shelf or any of those creatures come in. Then you can attack
them. I mean, let's just take a second to talk about their bookshelves in this movie. I mean, really, is that the best way to store a bunch of ancient texts? Is just with a loose chain around it? That's not even locked.
Well, that's what I was like. Yeah, I actually thought, what's the point of the chain here? Just to look cool, or
yeah, I mean,
because anybody could walk up and get like, oh, this has the special spells in it, but I can just unhook it and just walk off with it.
Yeah, it's not like they had to like Mads had to like cast a spell to get and the lock off. He's just like,
is he the first one to think of using the teleportation ring to steal a book from the guy who doesn't want him to steal books? I was like, I bet a lot of people have done this over time. Like,
so yeah, Wong's pretty. Ineffective.
Right.
Yeah, he is.
I mean,
asleep on
the job. I mean, he did say that all the knowledge is there for anyone, but I mean, was that just a test to be like, are you going to be the kind of student who just follows the rules and you're good, but you really don't expand yourself? Or are you going to be the one who kind of pushes the boundaries and, you know, learn while you're asleep?
I did think it was a cool idea to have a character who wasn't, and maybe I guess you want to get into fate or something like that, but wasn't really supposed to be the hero, but because he sought it out on his own, he became the hero. And maybe that was fate, or maybe it was, but like, you know, everyone else, Tony Stark made himself. Bruce Banner was hit by gamma rays. Like, these, everything happened to them, but this one, he sort of made it happen to himself. Like, he chose it.
Joseph Campbell.
He started it out for, like, selfish reasons to, like, fix his hands, and so he could be the superstar surgeon again.
And that's what I thought was actually brilliant about the movie, too, is it made me care about him being a surgeon. Because I remember they spent a long time. I mean, they spent, what, a good 30 minutes
before he actually left,
of him being a surgeon. And even though he was kind of a mean person or selfish or whatever, I still was like, I want his hands to be better, too. Like, I wanted him to... I wanted him to be better. And so, but the movie does a good job of... By the time, instead of her just saying, there's other things you could do besides go back, they made you actually believe it. Like, oh, yeah, why would he want to be a surgeon again? Man, he's got this other new life now. I like it when movies take me through the journey and not just tell me the journey.
I mean, it definitely did a good job of taking you through a story. And yeah, it's another origin story, and we're all kind of burned down origin stories. But I think this one made sense where it's, you know, you couldn't just introduce this character in, you know, another movie like they did Black Panther, where, you know, you can just throw him in there, you can kind of give a little background, you understand that this character obviously has a lot more journey. He's not just born into this.
And I love the cape. I loved it. I thought the cape was such a cool, like, I don't know, was his cape sentient in the comic book?
It has a little bit of a personality, but definitely not as much as this, where they made it basically Aladdin's carpet.
Aladdin's carpet, yeah. It was great.
I loved it. Blocking punches.
Yeah.
Floating.
Pulling them back. It was, I mean, I really liked this movie. I thought, I mean, the story was great, and I'm really excited for the fact that it opened up a whole another world. I mean,
opened up a whole lot of worlds.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Well, you know, so then, because this is where I was thinking how Marvel's going to do it, because in the DC, they kill off Superman because they want to do this Justice League movie. And you can't, it's hard to do a Justice League movie with Superman still around because he's just going, guys, I got this. I'll do it all real quick.
Yeah.
I'm faster and stronger than all of you by far. Batman, stay here. I'll do it. So they kill him off so that they can get everyone else up and doing things.
Yeah, it's always going to be a reason where.
But with Marvel, like, at some point, they have to explain people away, right? Like, or man, because it's going to, how are they going to fit all these people in the Infinity Stone movie or the Infinity War movie, and It's a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are gonna die during that movie. There's gonna be major characters.
Oh,
I mean,
they're gonna have to kill off characters.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, if you follow
if you just follow
the basic story of the comics, Thanos kills half the population in the entire galaxy. He kills 50% of everyone, not just like on Earth, across the entire known galaxy.
Doctor Strange and other dimensions and stuff into it can, I mean, it opens up a whole other thing, especially if characters are getting killed off, and
they could
reset their timeline anytime they want.
Yeah, they basically brought in the multiverse. I mean, you know, if we look at the comics, the basic Marvel cinema or Marvel world takes on 616. That's the Earth it's on. So there's another 615
interesting
worlds.
That they went with 6 because DC's like, well, we're Earth 1, obviously.
I think that's
something else is Earth after that, but Earth 1 is the one that we're reading.
Yeah, that's Earth Prime.
Yeah, and they have 52, though. They only have 52. I mean, there's a lot in the multiverse, but 52 is the name.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have a ton of, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, you could reboot the worlds, but you could also, you know, do Marvel Ultimates, which is a separate timeline. You could do Marvel Zombies. You could do What If stories. You could do, you know, obviously Old Man Logan's kind of being done through Fox.
That looks awesome, too.
Yeah, that's another, I think, did we talk about it in the last trailer?
We didn't.
But that's a good one to look at, too. But it just opens up so much that they could possibly do.
And after, you know, this being the 14th movie, I think it was the perfect time to bring this in because, really, eventually it's just going to get tired and people are going to be like, okay.
So are we to believe that he's going to help Thor and Loki on their whatever quest to find Odin? Is that going to be Thor 3?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, he's going to be
involved
in that movie.
Anthony Hopkins is gone.
Yep.
We got to find him. Because they kind of redeemed Loki a little bit in Thor 2, right?
No, well, yes, but then at the end, he's taken over and impersonating Odin, so
yeah,
he's still off on his own tangent.
He's a trickster, that Loki.
Yes.
Can't trust him.
No, you can't.
Doctor Strange, like, I liked it. I didn't, like,
yeah, you didn't like
love
this
it. I still think it was a great movie. It's still kind of middle, towards the middle ground of all the movies, I think. I love the style of it. I totally was suggesting it in 3D. And I do look forward to seeing more of this character as we go on.
Yeah.
Like the little teaser piece in the middle, which I won't give it away, in the middle of the credits at the end, I thought was just kind of fun. A fun little teaser scene. And
that was directed by the guy who's directing Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
But that was interesting. It was directed by him. But that was a great little nod into the next film. And I mean, that's always kind of been one of the Marvel problems is, you know, everything has to like feed into the next movie,
yeah.
Which
I
felt like they did a good job of not having to do that within the main movie of Doctor Strange. And they just used the little mid-credit sequence to tie into that.
And we have all these other characters running around the Earth right now, too. With do you watch the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I have not kept up with it.
Because they're doing the storyline. It's a whole group of people.
They have the Inhumans. And they have Ghost Rider right now.
And we have that Luke Cage.
Yep,
I don't know he's not been recruited on the Avengers yet.
And Spider-Man swing around Queens somewhere.
Oh, that one's going to be good, guys.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
I'm excited for
it. I like the Tobey Garfield, or the Andrew Garfield. I didn't really give the Andrew Garfield. I think I did watch them all, but I didn't care for them. But I like Andrew Garfield.
I really liked the first Amazing Spider-Man. The second one, it started to get a little bloated.
Yeah. And so sad that was the one where, who was the Electro?
Gwen Stacy. Jimmy Fox.
Yeah, Jimmy Fox. He was such a good actor. I'm like, oh, you kind of wasted your superhero role with this one, man.
Hey, he's already got a superhero role.
Ray?
Django Unchained.
Oh. Yeah.
So, yes, you would suggest this?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I loved it.
Yeah, 100%. If you like Marvel movies, if you like, you know, magic movies,
like
definitely
David
go see it.
David Blaine.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, this is...
this is real magic.
He did some crazy stuff.
The visuals, if you can swing it, I say go see, pay the extra, see the 3D.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it really immersed you, and the visuals really play into that very well.
Yes.
Did you feel, sorry, one more thing. Did you feel that, like, all the other magicians were totally weak, except for, like, the three major, like, the librarian, the guy from Serenity, and Benedict Cumberbatch were really awesome, and the bad guys were awesome, but there was all these other magicians, and they were, like, dying left and right.
Oh, yeah, all the guards of the places.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you died really easy.
Oh, can we just take a second and talk about the end, the final battle in the
oh, main, yeah.
The backwards fight?
Well, yeah. The
That was really funny, was too.
And, well, the fight with, so, I mean, spoilers, they throw in a huge villain for Doctor Strange, which is a Dormammu, and that's, the end scene is just so much fun. I don't want to spoil it all, but that was an amazing scene where he's just...
Yeah, and
going through
usually any movie where they have such a large entity that they're fighting has seemed to never be good. But in this one, like for instance, Silver Surfer, Galactus, mm-hmm. Parallax, and Green cloud. Lantern. What's that?
The giant cloud.
Yes. But this Dormammu, whatever.
Thermometer.
They did it really well.
Yeah, I mean, they took what is essentially a superpowered character and created a paradox that ended a fight, and it, you know, it's kind of, it'd be kind of neat to figure out how long he was actually in it, and because
you don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a great scene, and it's, you know, it takes a character and says, you know,
we should have done it in real time. And then...
But I mean, it shows that you don't necessarily have to have, you know, a huge fight to have a great ending battle. That really keeps you entertained and enthralled in what's going on. Yeah. So anyways, Brad, you're wrong. It's a great movie. Should be in your top five.
I didn't hate it. It's just kind of in the middle ground for me. We'll see.
Definitely one of the better movies of the summer.
Mm-hmm. More viewings, because I will watch it more than one time. Like, you know, it could get bumped up. We'll see. We'll see.
I'm just messing with you.
We'll see where it goes.
You can have whatever so list you want. As long as it includes Doctor Strange.
Speaking of watching things over and over again, let's give some recommendations people can watch at home. I'll go ahead and start it off. I'm going to just piggyback on Michael's recommendation from previous episode. And he recommended Westworld.
Westworld!
I just started...
The theme song?
That's my theme.
Man, I just Black. Started watching it, and it is awesome. Like, it's...
With a capital A.
With two capital A's.
Mm. I'm only a couple episodes. All caps. Only a couple awesome. Episodes in, but it's one of those, like, you really, if you're watching it, you can't be doing something else. You need to sit down and you need to pay attention, because there's things going on that you're trying to figure out. And I don't want to give anything away. I'm just going to say, if you have HBO Go or you're subscribed to HBO Now, watch Westworld.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just one of those shows that if you love, you know, puzzles and trying to figure out what's going to happen, even though you're not going to get an answer, it is
awesome. I did not expect you to say puzzles right then. If you love puzzles, you know, and I mean, 1,500, I don't care, guys. You'll love Westworld.
25 big block puzzles.
I mean, it doesn't matter, because the whole show is in pieces, and you have to sort of put it together.
I mean, like, I've been getting way into this and, like, you know, going on YouTube and watching fan theories, because there's all these different theories about timelines and, you know, who characters are, what the plot is, and it's just, I love that. I mean, I loved Lost and just, you know, them putting all these little things in front of you and going, oh, what if, what is this going to mean? And, like, just spending that, you know, that water cooler talk of just trying to figure it out with the people you know. And I feel like this is the first show in a long time that's God, then, you know, Game of Thrones is fun, but you know, there's not like a lot of mystery there. You kind of know what's going to happen. And this is like, I have no idea what's going to happen in the next episode. I don't know where they're going with this.
Mm-hmm. I want to see it.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Like, I don't know where it's going or who's.
Hey, Mike, Brad, come on over to the water cooler. I got a puzzle here. Yeah, let's talk about Westworld.
How many pieces is it, Justin?
2,000.
Whoa! Is it an 8-ball?
I do them upside down.
I do a reverse. Yeah. Upside down so you can't see the picture.
That's right. Boom. What's your at homes? Do you have more, or is it just Westworld?
Just Westworld.
Well, I'm going to go off the time element that's put into Doctor Strange. I'm going to recommend a Spanish film called Time Crimes. It's a great Spanish language film that deals with time travel in a very real way.
Where did you watch it on?
I watched it on Netflix originally, but it is on Amazon right now, or Shudder if you have Shudder.
Okay.
And just a great kind of suspenseful thriller. Thriller. That deals with time travel. And just watch it. Don't read anything about it. Just go and watch it. It's great.
Mine is two things. I finished Black Mirror, and it's pretty good. I thought Netflix nailed it at first. I think they didn't quite do as good as BBC did with it, but it's good. It's worth watching. And I finished season two of Bajillion Dollar Properties, and it's hilarious. Bajillion Dollar Properties. It's sort of a bunch of comedians making fun of all the reality or like reality TV shows. Anyways, it's super fun, and it's on CISO. You should download the app.
All right, so Time Crimes
and Bajillion Dollar Property.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you love The Cinema Guys, help us out. If you have any suggestions for The Cinema Guys, email us at thecinemaguys@134inc.com. Rate us, review us on iTunes. It does nothing but make us better. Once again, thanks for checking out The Cinema Guys. We really appreciate it, and maybe sometime we will see you at the movies.